Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to a Monday, Monday, March 19th episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man. I'm your host, the Miracle Man, and Preacher Man should be joining us at some point this evening. I know normally we've been at 5:30, but for right now, the Preacher Man wants to try 6:30 in hopes that he can be with us some more right now until we can get some more different workouts. But we'll see what happens. All that to say, we're so glad that you could join us. We thank you. Thank you guys for being flexible with us and working with us as we deal with all this, you know. And thank you guys for being flexible and joining us. I'm back at the temporary home base today, which is McDonald's at 4925 Eastman Avenue, just north of Saginaw Road. If you're coming north, we're on the left-hand side. If you're going south, like from the mall, you're on the right-hand side of Eastman. And we're kind of near the front door. I'm plugged in here on my phones. I mean, by my phone. Got my helper with me. Got my Bible. And the most delicious soda on the face of the earth, which is Coca-Cola. And speaking of McDonald's, I did just happen to finish up a meal that consisted of 4 buttermilk crispy chicken tenders with a satisfying crunch in every bite. A medium order of America's favorite fries. And a very sweet and caramel sundaes that was actually, I was actually blessed with it. A free one. I won't get into details as to what happened, but I'll just say, I got blessed. And so, the food is gone. And now, we're going to start the program. So, folks, you may be wondering, what's the plan, Miracle Man? For tonight, well, here's how it goes for tonight's show. We're going to read some on faith, but we're done with Exodus, and so, rather than get into Leviticus right now, Easter's coming up in just under 2 weeks. So I figured I would take this week and then next week to read verses and teach to you guys on Easter. Tonight is just going to be where we're going to read one of the end chapters of Luke. Then I'm going to exhort to you about what's on my heart after we read it. Other lessons will include Jesus and the palm branches, as Palm Sunday is coming up this coming Sunday, so that'll be Wednesday's lesson. Other lessons will be the crucifixion, the five times Jesus shed his blood, and the seven sayings of Jesus, and then one of them, I think it's going to be called, I'm praying about whether it's going to be I've been bought with a price, or I have a blood covenant with Jesus. And by I mean Christian, but it can be you apply it to your life, and you say, and you as a person say, I have a blood covenant with Jesus. Or, whatever I choose. And I'm praying to God about that. But so we're going to do that. We're going to stick with our text on faith. But then I got a ton of March Madness stuff to get to this week. And so right now we are trying to keep it to an hour and a half. And Monday nights at times, because a bunch of stuff will have happened over the weekends and what have you. It was easy for it to get to like hour 40, hour 45 minutes, but right now we're trying to keep it to an hour and a half. So some of it, the March Madness stuff will be tonight. Others of it will be tomorrow night. Wednesday night will be forward-looking. What's next? What's next? And stick around for that. As I will briefly say right this second, this weekend was actually quite a circus. It really was. And so, with that, I'm going to keep moving right along. And for our veterans, our veteran listeners, I should say, I want you to bear with me for just a quick second, just a quick minute. Those of you who are new to the show and or you have prospective listeners or people who would really like to come on and listen, and they may have heard you talk about the show and how great it is, the Preacher and Miracle Man show. You know, how can we listen? How do I tell them how they can listen? What do I do, Miracle Man? Well, here's the how-to. Here's what you tell these prospective listeners. Okay. You go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that is blogtalkradio.com, all one word. Then you type in Upfront Entertainment in the search bar. Once you do that, you should see a link. And the link will say Live in Large. And then you click on that link, and that'll get you in to the program. Then you can hit there's a follow button you can hit. And here's what's going to happen when you hit the follow button. It's something real amazing, real cool and powerful that's going to happen when you hit that follow button. You're going to get notified when we're going to do a show. For example, tomorrow night at 6:30, we're going to do a show. So you'll get notified at about 6 o'clock, 6:15 or so, to get ready to join us for faith, fun, miracles, Easter, or as we call it, Blood of Jesus, March Madness, and you'll get notified that we're going to have a show, and then you can join us, and we can have a great show together. And here's something really cool. You can listen to this program on your smartphone, on your iPad, or Android, or your iPhone, or you can listen to it on your tablet or on your computer. Real cool. And here's something we always say. It's always a smart idea, a smart thing, to follow this program on your smartphone. And we have all the archives. We have all the previous shows archived, so you can go back and look at everything we've done. Over 100 episodes now. And so it's amazing. But we also have a phone number where you can call us in. And you can talk to us, talk to me about anything you want to talk about for the most part. We can pray together. We can, you know, talk about God together, what's burning on your heart, something you might have seen about you and God, whatever. We can talk about sports, that March Madness tournament, that was those crazy upsets. And so we do have one thing that we prefer you not talk about, which we will get to immediately after I give the telephone number. And the telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Again, that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. And then after you call in, you press 1. When you hear the prompt to press 1, you press 1. And then you'll go through the call screener, and then that'll get you onto the show, and then you can talk to us. But we have two rules that we ask you to help us with by following them. Rule number 1. This is not a political talk show. There are other great political talk shows that you can listen to and call in and talk about how you feel about your representatives and congressmen. And I'd encourage you, let your congressman know how he or she is doing, your senator. Let them know how they're doing, how you feel. They represent you. But this is not a political talk show host. We believe and talking about things that will help unite people. We don't want to divide people. So if it's politics you want to talk about, what's going to happen is we're going to tell you two things. First of all, we're going to tell you to pray over your leaders. The Bible tells us to pray for those who have authority over us. That means our policemen, our firefighters, you know, our sheriff's deputies, our chiefs of police, mayors, other city officials, council ward members, governors, attorney generals, our president. We're to pray for those who have authority over us. And so that's one of the things we're going to tell you. Secondly, we're going to tell you to go vote next time. Primaries, for example, in Michigan will be the first Tuesday after the first Monday in August. So this year, that will be on August 7th. So if you're in Michigan, I would suggest on August 7th that you go vote. And you vote Bible. And we always say, you don't have the same right to complain if you don't vote as someone who does vote. You don't have the same right to complain if you don't feel like a certain leader is not doing a good job. And so make your voice heard and vote. Follow this rule, and we'll have a great show together. And rule number two, this show is This show is a family show. We want this to be a show where families, regardless of the age of children, can feel free to come on and just enjoy a good, wholesome program. And so with that, we ask that you keep all program comments appropriate for all ages. And we have verses we stand for to help us. In Ephesians 5, it says not to let corrupt communication come out of our lips. It also says that we're to stay away from crude joking. So that's a good guide to help you. And so we generally say, if you wouldn't say it to Jesus' face, then please don't come on this program and say it. So with that, we as a group, we are going to get ready for the word with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great show tonight. Thank you for these listeners who tuned in to listen to me talk about the Word of God. I thank you, Lord God, that you bless these people. You're with them. I thank you, Lord God, that you bless my voice tonight. Thank you that you bless Preacher Man. I thank you that you use me and you just put a guard on my lips so that I don't say anything that you wouldn't have me say. Just let me only say what you would have me say. And that you would also anoint my lips Lord God. So that you'd be glorified. And I thank you that these people have the ears to hear, and that they will go out and put the word into practice. And Lord, I thank you for this show right now. I thank you for finances coming in. I thank you for more listeners coming in. I thank you for sponsors coming on board with us, getting on board with us, so that we can make this show greater and better. And I thank you that you are in charge of this program. You are the Lord of this program and the Lord of your people. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that this evening. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. All right. So, sorry, folks. We don't mean for you to hear that phone stuff, but let's take a look tonight, starting with Hebrews chapter 11. Praise God, Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to see what God has to say about this faith stuff. And while I'm turning in the Bible, I found my spot, but I'm just going to give it a minute for you to turn there. Whatever I do here at McDonald's in this next little while, you do wherever you are. So when I start studying in just a second, you open the Bible and study with us. I pray, be it in the Spirit or in English unto God, you pray. If I sing a song of worship unto the Lord, or a couple songs or whatever, you join in or just sing from your heart. And so, the best way to get out of the show is by participating with us. So, whatever we do here at McDonald's, you do where you are. So with that, let's start reading right in verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and for being certain of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did, and by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he still speaks, even though Abel is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, we always add to this, but with faith, it is possible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Verse 7, by faith Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear. He didn't do it because he was afraid of a flood. He did it because he feared God. Holy fear. He built an ark to save his family. And by his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him for the same promise. And he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promises. And so from this one man, nearly as good as dead, became descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Awesome. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Now, with verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons, and he worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and he gave instructions about his bones. And by faith Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated, along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. The walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. What more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, and they refused to be released, so that they may gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed into. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins. Destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Chapter 12. We're going to read the first two verses, as we always do. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on the NCAA tournament to see who's going to upset who, and to see if a 16 is going to beat a 1 or what else is going to happen. Gosh, does it say that? Oh, the Bible doesn't say that. Let's mark out. Let us run the race marked out for us, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to the book of Luke. Praise God, book of Luke. Book of Luke. Book of Luke, book of Luke, book of Luke, book of Luke. Let's see. What Luke has to say. Let's see, Luke 23. Now, they're talking about Jesus here. Then the whole assembly rose and led Jesus off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted. "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee, and he has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. And when he replied that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. And from what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him, dressed him in an elegant robe, sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers and the people, and said to him, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence, and I found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." With one voice, they cried out, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas has been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. He was a murderer, so he had been put away in prison. Verse 20. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time, "Crime has this man committed. I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then released." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded he be crucified. And their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and they surrendered Jesus to their will. As they led him away, they seized. You know, let's go to 22. Let's go to 22, Luke 22. Wanted to start a bit more towards of the story. For tonight. The beginning of the story. So, that's what we will do. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread called the Passover was approaching. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus. They were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas, sent by the chief priests of the temple guard, and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented, and he watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had been sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. Which do you want us to prepare for us?" It. They asked. He replied, "Enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I might eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them to do. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat." Okay, I'm just turning the page. "This Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again by the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Yes, they're having communion. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is of mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Also, a dispute arose among them as to which one of them was confirmed to be the greatest by them. the kings of the Gentiles, lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules of the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by them in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. Then Jesus asked them, when I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they answered. He said to them, but how if you have a purse? Take it, and also a bag. And if you do not have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, and he was numbered, and the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled by men. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. People said, see, Lord, here are two swords. That is enough, he replied. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew also a stone's throw beyond them. And he knelt down and he prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Not as I will, but your will be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him, and he strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer, and he went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow he said, "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them, "and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." All right. Tonight, I am going to spend a few minutes to you about something that is amazing that we can do as Christians. Something that has great value. I'm talking about communion. Jesus goes to this house. He goes upstairs to that upper room with his disciples. So we'll basically say they're like upstairs in a kitchen. I mean, in a dining room. And they're having their unleavened bread and their wine. Jesus says, disciples, I'm not going to eat this again or drink from the vine again until the kingdom of God comes. And so they're eating, and Jesus says, now, one of you is going to betray me. And then he said, another one of you is going to deny me 3 times today. So Judas does end up betraying Jesus. And then Peter does end up denying Jesus. But that's a summary of what we read. But I want to delve into this communion thing. So, generally, you may be thinking this. What is communion? Like, what do? Generally, it's this. What we'll do like, for example, at church, what we will do is there'll be crackers set up, small miniature crackers, and then there'll be these little miniature cups of grape juice, which is to represent the wine. And the cracker is to represent the unleavened bread. And the Bible says, we just read it. It says, do this in remembrance of me. No, not in remembrance of the miracle man, not in remembrance of the preacher man, in remembrance of Jesus. Don't take communion in remembrance of all the bad things you've done. Do it in remembrance of what Jesus did for you. That he died for your sins. That he shed your blood that he shed his blood for you on the cross. Now, at first when I was little, here's what we used to do when we would take communion. Like the first year or so, what we used to do is my mom would first ask me, she said, why do we take the cracker? But I know what she really means, Matt, is why do we take the unleavened bread. And I would say, Mom, we take it because Jesus died for our sins. We'd pray over it. And then after that, why do we take the drink of the blood? And she said juice, but I knew what it meant. And I would say, Mom, it's because Jesus died for my sins. I mean, excuse me. It's because he shed his blood on the cross for me. And so, we'd drink it and we'd pray for it. You know, as we were doing it, you know, knowing that we have a blood covenant with them. And it signifies the covenant that we have with Jesus. And I told you, the Bible says, as often as we do it, whether it's daily, 3 times a week, twice a week, like we do at church, twice a week, once a week, or even if it's like once every couple of months. Now, I would say at least once a week you should take communion, whether it be at your church or at home. If your pastor is a pastor who doesn't do the communion, you should really consider asking him, sir, why don't we do communion at church during prayer? You know, if you have priest service prayer. As communion is very important. You can get these small little cups that, if you don't go to a church that does it, then use what you can easily do. I'm sure there's tiny crackers you can get from the store. And then you have these tiny little cups and you put grape juice in them. And then you take communion. Now, if you have some ought against a brother for whatever reason, and you're just totally holding a grudge, serious grudge against someone, then basically what's supposed to happen is we're supposed to wait on you to get it fixed. Or you just don't take the communion until you get it fixed. We don't eat and drink damnation. We should not be doing that. We should be taking communion because of what Jesus did for us, not because of what we did, not because of this. And it's a sign. I am communing with God. I am communing with my Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me just look at the time real quick. Okay. And my time is showing that we need to move along. And I've gotten quite a bit of sports to get to. To save time, some of it I'm going to talk about today, others of it I'm going to talk about tomorrow. So, first, however, I'm going to close this portion out the right way, and that is with some prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening tonight. Thank you for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, that you did in fact die on the cross, and then you shed your blood for us. I thank you, Lord God, that as Christians that we get to take communion in remembrance of you. And I thank you that your people would think about that as they do it. And Lord, I thank you right now for these people who may be listening to the show that do not know you. I thank you that they may find you right now, wherever they are, and that they may call this program and talk to me. Or find a track, find something, find someone, and get help so that they can get to know you. And I thank you, Lord God, for this great time in your word tonight. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now remember, Coca-Cola is the best soft drink on earth. It is much better than Dr. Pepper. So much better than Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper doesn't even compare. By the way, soda is not something you drink for communion. I mean, if it's all you have, like for the first time or whatever, then that's one thing. But try to do it the right way. And so, with that, let's delve into Pistons. Pistons on Saturday, they played the Portland Trailblazers and lost 187. And the Pistons just continue to struggle hard. They're not making the playoffs this year, I don't think. They're not making the playoffs. Tigers, opening day is Thursday, March 29th. So, a week from this coming Thursday. So, I'm real excited about that. I really am. And so, I'll be starting next Thursday, which means in 2 weeks, the daily, or almost daily at least, Tiger Talk will be coming back on. And so, congratulations to Saginaw Heritage Hawks girls basketball. That is because they won a state championship by beating a previously undefeated East Lansing Trojans team in Grand Rapids, score of 66-45 right there in Grand Rapids. So, good job to Saginaw Heritage Hawks. They were the team who knocked Midland out of the postseason, so essentially, Midland only lost once, which is not that bad. So, with that, we got tournament stuff to get to. Now, first, before I get into the crazy upsets, or whatever I choose to cover about them today, I will first give you an update on this. Thursday, Michigan had their first game, and they were able to win by 8 points, 6 points. Saturday night, though, they played Houston. And they played Houston. They win 65-64, though. They won on a last-second three-pointer. A last-second three-pointer in order to win. Because Michigan wasn't playing super well for the entire game. Not necessarily. Houston was giving them some trouble. But Michigan was able to prevail. Now, let's talk about Michigan State. Thursday night and Friday night, it looked pretty good. They beat Bucknell by a good amount. Sunday, though, the Spartans played Syracuse, and they fall 63-62 to a Syracuse team who was one of the first four. They were one of the play-in teams who was able to play in by getting a win before you get to this traditional round of 64. So, what's Michigan State is done after having the winningest regular season in the history of Michigan State. They are unable to make it to the Sweet 16. And Tom Izzo, Miles Bridges, and the other players going, wow, what happened? We should have shot better. We should have executed more. And I agree. So, Syracuse, they are moving on. And they are going to play Duke. Duke, the two seed that Michigan State would have played had they won. Now, something happened on Friday night that's never happened in the history of the tournament. Ever. And I didn't think it would happen to the magnitude that it did, at least for a while. That's right. The number one overall team in the NCAA tournament, one loss, one regular season loss, Virginia, fell to the final team. I'm talking about University of Maryland, Baltimore County. And Virginia lost to UMBC by a score of 86-65. 21-point drubbing. The overall last 16 seed beat the overall number one seed. And this is in the South region. Also in the South region, you had number three seed Tennessee and number four seed Arizona, both losing to Chicago Loyola, both on last second shots. First off, Arizona on Thursday night. Then they took out Tennessee on Saturday night. The two seed, which was I know they Miami, I want to say, or something like that. No, Cincinnati. They lost as well. So, folks, this is the first time ever that any region has all of the top four seeds eliminated before the Sweet 16. First time ever. And that is the South region. So the top seed left in the South region is actually Kentucky. Kentucky, the 5 seed. So they got to play. They have to play Loyola this week. And I'm not going to predict that yet. Wednesday is going to be the day where we do the predictions as far as what's going to happen. Let's look at some other regions. Nova, they're still alive. They've overwhelmed the competition, including totally rolling over Alabama. I figured Alabama would give Nova a bit more trouble, but no. Kansas and Duke, both of the top 2 seeds in the Midwest Regional, both still alive, and both won recently. So kind of a surprise there that Syracuse was able to knock out Michigan. They also knocked out someone else. West. With Michigan, Xavier bounced by Florida State last night. They lost by like 5 points. So 2-1 seeds are out before you even get to the Sweet 16. 2 of them. But they still have Michigan, the 3 seed, which is good. But Michigan is going to have to do a great job in order to stop Texas A&M, who totally walloped North Carolina, the champion last year, in Charlotte, of all places, in Charlotte, which is supposed to be totally North Carolina friendly, and they lost 86-65, North Carolina to Texas A&M. The 7 seed? Uh-huh. I can't make this up. This weekend was an absolute circus. A total circus. You had some 1 seeds and 2 seeds do, you know, some of the high seeds do well, but in the South, you don't have any high seeds left. I was listening to some radio people on ESPN Radio on Tuesday and Wednesday, and they were telling me, I mean, they were saying, folks, I think this tournament, it looks to be a bit more wide open than what we've seen in recent memory. They were right. The first day, other than Arizona losing to Loyola, the first day didn't seem like too much. Oh, but the next day there was some stuff, including that 1 seed losing to the 16 seed by 25 points. And then yesterday was crazy. Bunch of high seeds losing. So, bunch of brackets broken. Those brackets. I just predict games. I just predict. I thought Michigan State was still going to be in. And Michigan both. I was right about Michigan. I said Kentucky or Tennessee would make the Sweet 16. Possibly both. Well, I still have one of them. Kentucky. said Villanova would still be in. They are. I thought Cincinnati or Xavier would at least still be in. Both lost last night. So, wild weekend in the world of March Madness. Let me just look. So, with all of that being said, I just want to tell you guys about something pretty cool that I'm going to be doing. Not this weekend, but next weekend before we get off the air. And that is this. Next Friday, so on Good Friday, I'm going to be going to a carnival that will actually be inside of a building with a very high ceiling in it. This is in the IX Center in Cleveland, Ohio, International Exhibition Center. And this event is called the IX Indoor Amusement Park. What is IX Indoor Amusement Park, you may ask? What it is it's basically an indoor carnival that basically lasts for 4 weekends, and then on some weekdays within that span. And ride carnival companies, several different carnival companies bring certain rides. And people get to ride on it. So there will be rides there like the Freak Out, the Himalaya, the Ring of Fire / Fireball, Screamer, the Remix, which is like an orbiter, but I like it a lot better. Sizzler. Cliffhanger, which is one you lay down and on your stomach, along with some other cool rides that I just can't wait to go on. That'll be next Friday, a week from Friday. And I'm going to be there. I might do a mini show. I don't know yet. I will also be going to a Waffle House on that trip because we are going to stay in a hotel in Cleveland area on Friday evening. And then Saturday we're going to go to a couple of malls, one mall in Cleveland area, the other mall in Toledo. And I'm thinking Saturday after we leave the mall in Toledo to come back to Michigan to go to my mom's and dad's house in Detroit. That will stop to Waffle House to eat. And I don't know if I'm going to do an express show at the IX Center or at Waffle House. Part of it's going to depend on if I can find a semi-quiet place on IX Center at which to do it. Then I could give kind of an update on what's there and what all I've rode on and how an indoor carnival feels different from an outside carnival. If not there, then I'll do it at Waffle House, where I will be talking about some of the food I'm eating, as well as the rides, what my favorite rides were, And if they're big rides that have never been to Midland before, if there are some like that, then I'll tell you, I'll say why I think these rides should be at a fair like Midland, or a fair like another fair maybe in Metro Detroit area, or Bay City, or Saginaw, or Flint, or something. So that is a programming note for next week. So with that, I hope you guys enjoyed this show tonight. And so, folks, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.